This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as the cold winds blow towards the Isle of Ocean City, New Jersey. The Nor'easter is coming, Michael Lombardi. What's up, buddy?
Have you seen our weather report, Patrick?
I've been following it very closely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I need your sage advice.
It's going to get ugly, man. It's going to get ugly.
I just got a huge alert from Bill Berman, the weather who works for you on the East Coast, about the potential to storms here in Ocean City. And, you know, I got to be really honest. I mean, we're not Buffalo. Like, when I was in New England, if it said snow, no big deal. You just get in your car and go. Here, you know, it's a little bit, you know, we're used to rain, and we're not used to snow right here on the beach. So I know no one's feeling sorry for me, but I will be on the show on Saturday, whether I'm here or at the Borgata. Somehow I'm going to get there.
Well, when the
I might have to do it from my home. It depends on how bad it is.
What you're saying is, like, an organization that is planned, the infrastructure for Ocean City, New Jersey would not be up to par with somewhere like Buffalo or Detroit, Michigan, because you're not expecting this. This is something that doesn't happen on the regular.
No, I mean, the only salt we have in this town is what we put on the food. You know, I don't think we have much road salt. Yeah, exactly. But hey, we've had 17 and a half inches this month for this city, which is enormous amounts of snow. Again, you know, I mean, we choose to live here, and you know, and so we're dealing with it.
So, all kidding aside, I was looking earlier today, but when do you expect the biggest punishment there? Because it's going to, I mean, the whole coast is getting crushed.
Right. I mean, according to all the reports, it's going to start Friday night around 7-ish, and it's going to go all the way through all day Saturday, and it's not going to let up. And they're thinking somewhere between, you know, New York City had this prediction between 2 and 20 inches. It's like, seriously, how do you have that prediction? Like, that's not a prediction. That's a guess, you know? And so, you know, we're told somewhere between 6, 12, and if it actually comes a little inland, it could be 18.
Well, as we welcome you in here on the Lombardi Line, we get our 5-day, well, my 5 days, your 6 days started yesterday. The weather this weekend, I mean, Kansas City's going to be perfect. It's going to be like 45 degrees and sunny. So no wind, no nothing. And then obviously SoFi. So as far as the weather impact on the betting, it shouldn't really be prevalent. Now, a lot to get to today. And we're going to start with news that's breaking all over the place as the dominoes start to fall here. I can't ever think of Nathaniel Hackett without thinking of Paul Hackett. I'm going to be 44. Yeah, so again, who didn't make a great head coach, but was a longtime assistant. Nathaniel Hackett has been hired as head coach of the Broncos, Michael Lombardi.
You know, my first job in the National Football League was at the 49ers, and Paul Hackett was the quarterback coach on that staff when staffs were rather small, not like today, which these staffs could, you know, be the landing gear in Normandy. I mean, they're so huge. But, you know, then there were very few coaches, and so I got to know Paul really well. I learned a lot of football from Paul as a young scout and became friends with his wife. Nathaniel wasn't even born back then. So, you know, Paul became a head coach at the University of Pittsburgh, became a head coach at USC, never achieved a head coaching job in the National Football League. So he's got to feel really honored today to see that his son achieved something that he didn't do. And, you know, he was one of these guys. Paul had a great mind. He was well-versed in the West Coast offense. So I'm sure Nathaniel, you know, obviously learned all this training through his father. He was a ball boy at one time for the Chiefs when his dad was there, watched Marty Schottenheimer. So, he's been a long-time experienced coach. You know, that got probably a bad rap in Jacksonville when he got fired midseason the next year after taking a team to the conference championship game. And, you know, and then next year he gets fired. And then now he's done a nice job in Green Bay. So hats off to him. I really thought, and I apologize to people who may have taken the Dan Quinn thing, but I guess Dan Quinn just didn't really deliver. And now he's now removed himself from consideration for all the NFL head coaching jobs, returning to the Dallas Cowboys, which says a message to me that he wasn't going to get one.
There's no apologizing in betting. First off, this is a game of probabilities. This is a market, so you don't apologize. And
yeah,
secondly,
but I really, you know, that one was one of those, Patrick, that I was really wired on that. I thought it was really going to happen. I feel badly about it because not that I think I got misinformation. I think the information at the time was correct, but there were certain steps that had to be gone through that I don't think you know, Quinn may have hit the right notes on the interview.
And there's a, but there's also with Dan Quinn, there's an element with the fan bases when they hear about the interviews, there's a very much an element of been there, done that. We feel like we know Dan Quinn. There's an excitement to some of these guys. We'll get to Eberflus here in a second. But somebody like a Nathaniel Hackett, who you said unceremoniously let go by Jacksonville, Blake Bortles had a tremendous year under his tutelage. So I think there's something to that. And to further, it appears Denver wanted to block Jacksonville. Jacksonville, who's still deciding what to do, were going to interview Nathaniel Hackett today, and they wanted to jump out in front of it.
Well, but then Schefter reported, which I think is very accurate, that Jacksonville had a plane in Denver. Most people think that plane was there to pick up Nathaniel Hackett. It wasn't. Okay. It's to fly Vic Fangio down to Jacksonville to interview for a head coaching job. Now, Vic Fangio goes back with Trent Baalke when they were together at San Francisco under the Jim Harbaugh era. So this is all over. Now, I do think, and I've been told reliably, that Leftwich wants... He wants someone in that personnel department he can trust. Adrian Wilson, Shelton Quarles, somebody that he has a relationship with. I think that's important, too, because Baalke, he doesn't have one. So I think that's the tie-up. You know, there was a report on Wednesday that Leftwich was going to get the head coaching job in Jacksonville, and that kind of waned a little bit because they had more candidates. But more than anything, I think the tie-up was that he wants some say in this personnel department in Jacksonville to have at least somebody watching his back.
And you're talking about Byron Leftwich, who is essentially saying, I'm going to get a job eventually, so I'm only going to take one under my conditions. And what you're saying is it appears he's not a fan or would prefer not to have Trent Baalke running the player personnel there.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's the ultimate concern is do I really want to go somewhere? Which is surprising for Fangio. Now, Fangio doesn't have a whole lot of head coaching options, but he lived through the Baalke Harbaugh administration in San Francisco. He knows it from a coaching standpoint. So he would think he would say, wait a minute, hold on. I'm a little bit at this point in my life, I'm probably better off just being a coordinator somewhere, which I'm sure he will, because, you know, whether Indianapolis interviews him because Eberflus went to Chicago or if they have someone else in mind. I think Vic will be in demand as a coordinator.
Nathaniel Hackett, 42, called plays down in Jacksonville. Buffalo did not call plays. That would be LaFleur in Green Bay. But Green Bay is where we start the speculation of Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, Davante Adams in March will be a free agent. So there's going to be some ties with Hackett and potentially we heard about, you know, Denver and Rodgers connection potentially last year. So this is going to start the speculation.
No, I mean, what we're going to have to deal with between now and next January 2023 is Aaron Rodgers to Denver speculation and Sean Payton to Dallas. And that's all we're going to hear about. I mean, the first incomplete pass for Dallas in a preseason game, there's going to be a command, you know, like let's get Sean Payton in here immediately, It's just going to continue. I was on radio in Dallas this morning. It's just going to continue to morphin and it's not going to go away. And if you're McCarthy, you better embrace it. You know, you better just say, hey, look, I can only control what I can control and make this team better.
Yeah, I know you and Dave went into this extensively yesterday, but that is going to hang over that organization with Peyton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the assumption would be if Peyton called Jerry Jones today, he could have the job today. So that's what McCarthy is dealing with. That's just the assumption.
I don't, but see, I think that's a wrong assumption because I don't think Sean can just, you just can't leave your job. You just can't like go from one coaching. It's not college.
Right.
There's contracts. So I think that's really the issue.
Yeah, I mean, that is, but you nailed it. And so McCarthy's going to have to, he's going to have to get on the daily coach. He's going to have to read, he's going to have to come up with a counterintuitive way to handle this because it's going to be nonstop, specifically with the coverage down in Dallas. He just is going to have to answer to it every single day.
Every single day and have to deal with it, you know. And so, he's just going to, he's got to embrace it. There's no way around it. I mean, and he's got to be honest with himself first and foremost. He did not do a good job in terms of getting the team better as the year went on. Now, it's interesting. I don't hear Kellen Moore's name mentioned for any of these jobs either, so he's going to go back.
Yeah.
I mean, Kellen Moore, he might be up for Minnesota, right? He might be up for Minnesota, but other than that, I don't know where else.
The conversation around Kellen Moore has gotten quite petite. Conversation around Todd Bowles, we're not hearing his name as far as we do have a, and when we come back, we'll talk about the new head coach in Chicago, which we'll get to in just a bit. But some of these, you know, whether they didn't interview well, Moore may be thought of as a guy that's being groomed there in Dallas, but I haven't heard his name as a finalist for these head coaching positions either, no?
No, I haven't either. And, you know, and I think that, you know, now maybe it happens in Minnesota. I'm surprised D'Amico Ryans isn't getting one of the more action based on what he did. You know, he did a really good job. And, you know, we still have to decide what's going on with Brady and, will you know, Bruce Arians. How long will he want to coach if Brady's not there? I think there's a lot of things playing into this. It's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. New York today is interviewing Brian Flores. Will they hire him? Quinn pulled out. You know, they got Leslie Frazier scheduled for an interview tomorrow. Miami, a lot of people think Brian Daboll is going to go down there. And if he does, that's great. But Daboll was in – I mean, Daboll knows Tua pretty well. You know, he takes that job. You know, he's got to be hook, line, and sinker in on it.
I didn't – so Quinn pulled out of speculation or potential job opportunity
there. He said he's done, you know. Yep.
So he'll head back to Dallas. Dallas is going to be a show, man.
He confirmed he's going back to Dallas.
To your point, you have two assistants that interviewed for every open job. You've got a guy, Mike McCarthy, who out of 32 fan bases is probably the most right now. The negative connotation is stuck with him on the biggest America's team. Next year is going to be quite a treat for the Dallas.
So
I mean, it's winter. You're all gone. OK, when we return, we have an official retirement in the NFL. Can you guess who? And there's a new head. I know it is shocking, isn't it? There's a new head coach in Chicago. Bear down. That's next. Here, Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Football season is here, and it's time to download BetMGM Sports. It's Nevada's premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. Bring that state-issued ID, and you're ready to bet within minutes. Got to be 21 years or older. Physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Okay, championship weekend coming up, of course, with the two on Sunday, but we've got a ton of house cleaning to do as far as the NFL. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're doing well. The Bears had come down to what we understood was Quinn, Jim Caldwell, and Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator there with Indianapolis Colts, and it has been announced they've hired Eberflus to be the new head coach in Chicago. Your reaction?
I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, obviously they see it. It's, a, you know, I mean, look, we as a betting network and bettors always are concerned. I mean, you know, Indianapolis turns the ball over at such a great rate that it's, you know, it's impressive. But when, you know, we had to stop somebody in a game and you had that line to cover, it just didn't seem like they had to do it. Now, maybe as a head coach, he can change. I think this is clearly the direction coming from Bill Polian through Tony Dungy and Rod Marinelli and all those people. So, you know, I mean, this is a partnership. Trace Armstrong represents Eberflus. He also represents Ryan Poles, the new general manager. So the two of them together are going to see what they can do. You know, I mean, I've always had a hard time with if I don't see it on the tape or the adjustments during the game. You know, for me, you know, I thought it was one of the weaknesses of the Colts was their defense. I know they turned the ball over, but I didn't think it was the strength of their defense. Their defense, to me, when they had to get control of the game and they had to do something playing outdoors or wherever, they struggled. So, but they did turn the ball over, and credit to Eberflus for coaching that. We'll see what happens.
So Eberflus hired. Was this something Poles, who had just got hired, I think Monday, the new general manager who they plucked from Kansas City, did he really go through an extensive interview process with everybody, or was this already decided upon?
I think this was already pretty much in the bank. I think this was, you know, here are the three guys, maybe catch another interview with them. But he knew Eberflus. They had a relationship. You know, I'm sure he knows Quinn. You know, Quinn's represented by Rick Smith, who's there in Chicago. And then, you know, Jim Caldwell. So, you know, I don't know how it all played out, but I'm sure Eberflus had to tell the Bears front, and this is what I'm going to do offensively. this is how I'm going to fix this offense, and we'll go from there and go from there.
Yeah, so they hire a defensive-minded head coach. So that brings us to the Giants. My assumption with the what we heard about Daniel Jones and Mara family saying, we're not interested in Deshaun Watson, Daniel Jones is our guy. My assumption, and you correct me, the general manager and the new head coach were told by the Maras, we're going to go with Daniel Jones, so you have to be on board, and then we'll work around, at least for the next couple of years. The Flores hire would be very interesting because Flores has had a hard time finding that quarterback developer and the offensive coordinator. Do you believe they were told, the general manager, we're going to go with Daniel Jones?
Well, I think that, you know, in practical terms, you should go with Daniel Jones. You know, because as much as I'm not a Daniel Jones fan, what's the alternative? Where are we getting somebody? So I think to me, it's for the short term, it's probably smart so they can figure out, you know, what they're going to do and what their plan moving forward is. But as long as to me, if I would have interviewed for the job, as I would have said, look, as long as we have an open mind about this, that we're not locked in, that we're not going to sign him to an extension, that he's going to have to prove it to all of us, then, yeah, I think it is the best option for current right now. That being said, I think you got to keep your eyes open. I don't think just looking over the Giants landscape, I mean, they got Brian Flores in there today. They got Leslie Frazier coming in tomorrow. I guess Brian Daboll's still on the docket. You know, he's still involved in Miami and in the Giants. They say Miami is not going to – nothing's going to happen very quickly in Miami. They're going to extend it next week. I was told that Miami was, you know, that it was going to be Vance Joseph, but that doesn't make any sense to me because Vance Joseph is a defensive coach and Miami wants to keep their defensive staff. Okay, well, maybe you could still hire a defensive coach. I don't know. But I just think to me, none of these things are lining up, and I think it's going to continue to go further and further. I would suspect the Giants might be the team that goes next. They've done a lot of second interviews here.
Do you know, and again, what's always so important, and Michael does a good job of explaining this, a lot of this is connections, who's represented by whom. Do you know if there's a leader in the clubhouse right now based on the new GM and the Giants?
No, I don't. I think he's going to have a voice. I think John Mara is going to have a strong voice. I think this is an ownership general manager decision. And I think that, you know, that the GM has a relationship with Daboll, he knows him, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get the job. I do think the Giants want somebody with head coaching experience, which is interesting why Quinn bailed. There's a reason Quinn bailed. He just didn't walk away. He was told something. You know, when you're up for this many jobs, you don't just walk away. You've got to be able – now, he didn't get the Bears job. You know, he really wasn't in the play for the Bears. It was, you know, you named the three, so he wasn't really in there, even though he interviewed. He didn't get the Denver job. He was a finalist there. And he seemed like he was in the Giant job, the job he said he wanted. Remember, he said that was the job he wanted the most. He's a Jersey kid, and he bailed on it. Something happened. Something went on. Somebody told him something. He wasn't going to get the job, and they must have their eyes set on somebody.
That's right. So for somebody like Quinn, who's been there, done that, it feels like a leverage or a power play. I know I'm not getting this, so I'm going to say I'm not interested to keep some hands
exactly.
In the situation, right?
So yeah, no doubt.
Maybe
no.
There's...
And you know what's interesting, Patrick, is some of the coaches that are not even getting second. Like Doug Peterson hasn't gotten a second interview anywhere.
It's wild.
He's completely out of the cycle. He was the hot coach at the beginning of the cycle. Bob Lamont, his agent, had him up there for all of them. You know, Eric Bieniemy, you know, he interviewed in Denver. You know, Ryan Poles was with him in Kansas City for all those years. He never interviewed him for Chicago. And you would think they would because of Justin Fields. So I think sometimes what we think are the norms outside the building, inside the building, have different perspectives.
When I asked you about the Minnesota Vikings, you said they're going to go analytics. They did. Excuse me, the name escapes me as far as the GM hire, but a very bright guy, Ivy League educated, that's very dependent upon analytics. I haven't really heard much from them as far as the head coaching front.
No, I mean, you know, they've been kind of quiet. They went to the GM level first. I do think they interviewed Kellen Moore. They've interviewed six people, four defense, two offense. And I think they're going to go back through those again, is what I was told. So we shall see. I mean, I think it's going to be a job for a young coach. right? Because they had look, the guy that they hired, you know, he was a Princeton grad. He went to work on Wall Street. You know, then he started at San Francisco as a researcher. Then he went to Philadelphia as an information guy, and then he went to Cleveland for 2 years. I mean, there's not a lot of experience there. They're going to be all analytics, all analytics.
Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. And I apologize if I botched that at all. He is the new general manager in Minnesota, so the next chip will be the head coach. One that's gone completely under the radar, you mentioned Miami, we're hearing Daboll potentially. I haven't even heard anything in town. Vinny's here. Maybe we can ask him when he gets in here. How about the Raiders? This has kind of been quiet.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders are they're still going through the interview process for general managers. I think they have another one today, and then they're supposed to start interviewing coaches. I have a feeling we'll hear something on the Raider job today or tomorrow. I think, not that they're going to hire somebody. I think there'll be some more clarity today or tomorrow.
Okay. Mark, and your assumption would be Mark Davis is running everything, general manager search.
He's got Ken Harrock. He's got Marcel Reese and Dan Ventrelli. Those four people are his brain trust. Ventrelli's the interim president. Ken Harrock worked for his father for years. Actually, I replaced Harrock when Harrock left to go to Green Bay. And then Marcel Reese is a former player.
And I bring that up because somebody that you know, wasn't there a president that they fired last year that was around forever?
Mark Bedain, yeah. Mark Bedain started there at a young age, you know, started there as answering the telephones, built the stadium in Las Vegas.
Speaking of which, and then we'll get Vinny in. So it looks like Mike McDonald, who was responsible for turning around that Michigan Wolverine defense, he's going to head back to Baltimore to become the defensive coordinator. An interesting story as I dug into him. He wasn't even a play. He was an intern for the Baltimore Ravens. Never played, never nothing. And were you surprised to hear, potentially, now it hasn't been finalized, it looks like it's going to. Are you surprised he's going back to the NFL?
No. I mean, I think what he did there at Michigan, he's a pro-style coach, had been around. They want to try to keep the terminology the same. They want to kind of do – they tried to interview, I think, George Witt, but they couldn't get him. And so – because Quinn's not leaving. So I kind of think it makes – they want to keep the structure of the Martindale defense intact and obviously let him have his personality, which is what he'll do.
This is random, but when I hear the name Witt, is that the old special teams coordinator's son?
No, different. No, that's,
you know,
I don't
talking,
know about that.
You know who
yeah,
I'm talking about?
No, I know
about?
What you mean. Yeah,
I
don't know.
With New Orleans and I can't remember his name. It was Witt, though. He's very respected.
No, that's Joe Vitt. That's
Vitt.
V-I-T-T.
Yes.
Vitt is Adam Gase's father-in-law.
There's the connection. There's always 6 degrees. It's a small business when you really think about it. There's 6 degrees.
It is, a mom, yep, no doubt.
Okay, when we come back, that's a lot of news there on the head coaching and general manager situation in the NFL. Let's get to some betting. Vinny Maliulo joins us from behind the book at South Point next here at Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the big game's coming up, and it's never too early to prepare for it. And we want to make sure VSiN is part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the postseason. Of course, the playoffs are here. And then on the championship weekend coming up this Sunday, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage over at VSiN.com, VSIN.com, leading up to our 6th annual live big game betcast. The biggest game of the year, so make the plans now. Have us involved, VSiN, and you get our experts, including Vinny Maliulo, sitting next to me. It's VSiN.com, VSiN.com. Okay, this is the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This it's a busy day, actually. I just heard, before we welcome in Vinny, so the Saints are in the mix as well, and Aaron Glenn is going to be interviewing there, the D.C. with the Detroit Lions, obviously an old Saint, and actually did a really good job coordinating that Lions defense this year, Michael. And Rappaport reporting, Miami's not going to rush to anything, so it looks like next week they'll put off the process as far as hiring a new head coach. Any reaction to those two?
I mean, I don't know, in this market, there doesn't need to be a rush. I mean, you're not really who you're trying. You have a bunch of candidates. Like, for example, I think Denver liked Kevin O'Connell, but I think they wanted to go with they like Nathaniel Hackett. They like both guys. They went with the guy they can get right now and get going. So I think it's a comfortability. I don't think there's a rush. Every team's a little bit different.
And anybody taking that New Orleans job, they better get some security like Dan Campbell with that extra year on it, because
I agree with that.
It's going to be a rebuild. That's to be fair.
I agree with that.
Okay. Vinny Maliulo, legend behind the book here at the South Point, joins us now. And he was telling me, Michael, he wanted to recap what happened divisional weekend, because while you had three of the dogs cover, it was a mixed bag here at the South Point.
Yeah. Well, hello, guys.
Welcome.
Well, good to be with
you guys.
Nice
to see you.
Hello, Vinny.
Busy weekend coming up, for sure. Busy weekend last weekend. How busy was it? So think about it. Last week, we had, with two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, we had more business than week 18. Of the regular season when everybody played.
That's wild.
So it gives you an idea of how popular the playoffs are. And a little, you know, kind of deceiving in terms of results, right? Saturday, good day for the books. But what it did set up was Sunday, obviously, which we know, there's always that rollover. There were, after the Rams-Buccaneers game, which killed a lot of certainly Buccaneers teasers and money line parlays, but there was a lot of action on the Rams. We had tremendous exposure on Sunday night with the Bills game. There were a ridiculous number of underdog money line parlays
for the
four
games.
Teamers.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I have to tell you that, you know, you start calculating and doing the what if scenarios.
That would have been brutal.
That was you know what? I mean,
again, so you're a huge Chiefs fan is what you're telling me.
Well, we were cheap. I mean, it was the lesser of two evils, actually. We lost to the game, but, you know, there were plenty of folks that cashed on the Chiefs and over. But it would have been far greater had the Bills won the game outright.
Because it wasn't just a four-teamer as far as the side. They were parlaying the money line on the four dogs.
Well, it was absolutely the money lines. I mean, every $20 to $200 parlay
was
four underdog money line parlays. You know, and it looked like they was going to get there. And again, if it does,
13 seconds away from you turning
you're
off
thinking,
the lights.
Well, all right, you know, just think of how much more business we're going to do next weekend. But and again, this will be a busy weekend too. But folks came out and supported the teams last week. The action was great, and it's going to set up for a very busy weekend this weekend as well.
Vinny, let me ask you a question. As a bookmaker, with 13 seconds left on the clock, and you're thinking, what are you thinking at that point? Do you think we are done? I mean, because, you know, when I give out betting tips every week, I tend to invest myself, not that I spend any of my money, but I invest myself in my recommendation because I want to be right, you know, and I take pride in it, but I don't play it. And so what take me through your mindset when you see 13 seconds left on the clock and you've got money on both sides and you've got liability?
The exercise was start getting ready to post the Bengals Bills number. at that point you're
that
thinking
that was the first thing through your head.
Yeah, right. Okay. Are we got to get ready for we're going to first of all make sure there's nobody on break so we can get the folks cashed out, and by the way, put up because the 49ers and Rams game was up, so we were getting ready to post Bills hosting the Bengals, and as folks are cashing out, then they're betting. You know, you give them the opportunity. There's certain times, and that's a weekend where you're giving folks the opportunity. Just like this week, as soon as the Rams game is done, we'll post the Super Bowl, and as folks are cashing out tickets from the two title games, now you start your Super Bowl your handle. But at that point, with 13 seconds to go, we're thinking, Bills are going to host the AFC title game.
And they already know what the ledger is going into the game. I guess the only thing up in the air then would be, Vinny, just the in-game bets that you took that would kind of skew things a little bit differently. But at that point,
well,
you already
know.
Well,
even the in-game, there's no more you're paying everything at that point, right? You know, the pre-flop, you're paying the in-game as well. Yeah. So,
Vinny, what would you have made the line if the Bengals had to go to Buffalo?
About the same. I mean, you know, at that point,
seven.
I mean, they were going to be about a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, the Bills had overcome the Chiefs on the road, would have overcome the Chiefs. And in fact, I was on with Brady and Wes that evening, and we were talking about the scenarios going in. So it would have been about the same thing, maybe 6.5. But again, you have to it would have been a situation where the Bills had overcome the Chiefs on the road and won the game. So it would have been a bit close.
Let's set up the numbers when we come back in the next segment. Just want to continue putting a bow on what we saw. Mm-hmm. You mentioned during the break that last year your Super Bowl futures were released a year ago tomorrow.
The 28th. Right.
This year you're going to hold off at the book a little
bit. I think we're going to wait a little bit. And when we do post them, I think you'll see shorter prices. And folks are going to probably be surprised at some of them. But you really can't post some longer odds because of this quarterback carousel that's starting right now, right? And again, the big one is obviously Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we've seen in recent years that no one player means more to the number in a game than Aaron Rodgers. Now, if he stays in Green Bay, fine. You know they're going to be obviously one of the favorites for the Super Bowl, certainly in the NFC to contend. They'll be the favorite for the division for sure. But if he goes elsewhere, and depending on where that is, and it's not going to be a rebuild situation, that team becomes one of, if not the Super Bowl favorite, depending on where he goes. I mean, if you put Aaron Rodgers on Pittsburgh with that defense, well, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, the Steelers are certainly not going to be a long shot.
Yeah, well, he cuts the number. I mean, we were just joking during the break. If he went to Detroit, stayed in division, Michael, he cuts that number in half or even more.
Yep.
I mean, you know, so yeah. That's just the impact. It's funny, as we say it right now, a tandem of Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers and Adams are trending together on Twitter. So the speculation with Nathaniel Hackett, who was the OC who Rodgers liked, going to Denver, because, Michael, that was the speculation last year that Denver could potentially be a landing spot.
Yeah, and they should be. But let's just put things in perspective. Denver has $50 million of cap room going into the offseason. You're going to have to get Rodgers, you're going to have to redo Rodgers' contract. It's going to be close to $50 million. To get Adams, you're going to have to redo his contract, and he's going to be the highest paid receiver in all of football. I mean, those two expensive additions to your roster will leave you with basically nothing. And
right.
and particularly with Denver, who's in an ownership transfer, there's going to be a sale. Like, you're not going to just start spending a ton of money to then sell the team. You know, you're not doing that. So, now, if they had a new owner come in March before, okay, hey, whatever we're going to do, we're going to do it. But I think there's going to be fiscal responsibility. I'm not saying they're not going to spend money, because there's money to be spent. That's just part of the bit. But there's not going to be this overindulgence. And with those two players, you put those two. This isn't the NBA. We have such an NBA-NFL contrast that people think it's going to be a dream team. Those two coming together are really probably not going to happen because of their salaries.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, there's that situation. It's not only that where quarterbacks are going to go. Who's going? I mean, we know that Ben Roethlisberger's retired, right? He's done. You know, what's going to happen in Tampa? I mean, and obviously the ripple effect of Tom Brady's decision to stay. If he stays, then I think it's contingent on him convincing others to stay as well, right? And you know, Gronkowski, and defensively, you know, that group. So there's a lot to take into consideration from our side of the counter in terms of these futures, and it's based so predominantly on the quarterback situation around the league.
Did you tear up? Did you get emotional today with the Big Ben announcement, Denny?
No, didn't. It's all business.
Came as a shock to all of us that he's going to hang it up. When we come back, we'll set up Championship Weekend with Vinny from Behind the Book here at the South Point next here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Bet on more than a final score, Vinny. It's one game parlay at BetMGM. One game parlay is an exciting feature designed to help You make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including teams and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create your best parlay before the game starts. New to BetMGM? Sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 with that bonus code VSIN1000. You can place one-game parlay bets on football, basketball, and more. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that you can redeem for a room and nights and dining at any MGM resort nationwide. So again, it's a one-game parlay. Eligibility restrictions do apply. All promotions are subject to qualification eligibility requirements. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Vinny is here, and of course, Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Do you notice the transition with new bettors, the reliance on parlay betting, and as they become more seasoned, I guess is the way to put it. Do you notice the single games start to kind of get into their repertoire more? New bettors love getting down on parlays.
Oh, absolutely. But you'll see them also, they'll key certain teams as well, like their favorite team and things like
that.
Which
can be dangerous.
And again, but as people get more educated, you'll see them. They'll always have parlays, but you'll see they'll make straight bets as well. Yeah,
for sure. I hope so.
Yeah,
but you'll take that parlay action for sure. Michael asked a great question about what would you do if we were headed to Buffalo, and so you opened what with Cincinnati at KC, and you're saying you would essentially had the same number in Buffalo with Cincinnati.
Okay. Yeah, it would have been about the same. And again, this number hasn't moved. It's it opened 7, and that's where it sits. What's gone up is the total. And total, we opened it a little higher. Some folks opened it about 51. We used 51.5. It's up to 54. So I believe the weather right now, the forecast looks to be pretty good. I think in the 40s. So it doesn't look to be. But again, that weather, it doesn't seem to be a factor. It doesn't matter what the weather is when it comes to these to somebody's playoff games. So up to 54. And the money line has moved 40 cents off the opener of $3 to now $3.40 on the Chiefs.
Vinny, do you think by the time we kick this ball off at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon that you'll be at 7.5?
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me, Mike. I think we're going to need the Bengals on Sunday in all likelihood. And frankly, we'll probably need the Rams at this point, and we'll get to that game in a moment. But it wouldn't shock me if this game goes higher in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the last game was 65 points, right? 34-31 victory for the Bengals. So, you know, and a lot of it is weather, obviously, and pace, because we saw Buffalo try to pace this game, and they really did a nice job of pacing the game. They kept the game, you know, it wasn't until that two-point play near the end of the fourth quarter that the over clicked. And if they didn't get that two-point play, it may never have clicked. But once that happened, it looked like these two teams just took off the gloves and just made it a brawl. And then all of a sudden, we just had the explosion of the football, of scoring. And I don't know. I think Cincy can score. I don't know if they can consistently score through the entire game, especially if the pace is like it was in the first, where Kansas City comes out and scores 14 points in the first two drives.
Yeah, and I think the other part is obviously the Bengals' offensive line too, right? I mean, we're talking about offenses here, but I think defensively too. You know, do you give the Chiefs a little bit of a advantage here in this particular matchup? Probably, but again, the thing is that while it's been two way, it's starting to trend more so towards Kansas City here on Thursday. And again, I think that'll probably continue as we get closer to game time.
Yeah, and Michael, Michael, you gave out the over. You know what helps with that over? 25 points in the final 2 minutes of the game. That was a wild turn of events towards the end of that game. So much fun.
But for me, you know, Patrick, going back and watching the game and watching Cincinnati's offensive line, how bad it played against Tennessee. You know, the left guard, Spain, the right tackle. Yeah. You know, it was so bad. And I just can't see that line. It goes against everything I believe in winning football games, is you've got to be able to play well on the road. And this line can't. And I think that Burrow not turning the ball over is almost a remarkable achievement. I mean, how he didn't turn it over in those nine sacks in that game is unbelievable. Now, I know he did one time on the throw, but I don't know if you can do it 2 weeks in a row. I really don't. I think they're a paper tiger. I think they're a wonderful story, but I think they're going to have a hard time staying 60 minutes against this Chief team that is very confident.
I was going to say, I think there's a recalibration of how just how great in the brilliance of Burrow, Michael, because even that Week 17 matchup against Kansas City, I mean, he was just pummeled and just kept on coming back. Remember, they dropped down 14 points to Kansas City at home three different times in the first half. So,
I mean, the one thing that makes them dangerous, obviously, is they can score points anytime. You know, and when teams can score, they're in the games, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, the Bengals are not going to rely on their defense here. If there's a defense, not that the Chiefs are going to, although they've played better, or you know, but then again, you look at last week's game. But it was a different set of circumstances too, with a much more mobile quarterback. And I think the keys here are the difference in the offensive lines. But Michael brought up an interesting point too, and I think his thought about can they replicate it again. Here on the road, and I think bettors are feeling the same way. They don't necessarily think so. Now, if it gets to 7.5, do folks jump in and grab that hook? Probably, but again, it wouldn't shock me if it does go higher. We're gonna need the Bengals in this game.
What'd you say the comeback was on the Bengals money line?
It's 340 plus. I think it's 280. Yeah.
And you got to go what with Kansas City?
340. Like late 340. Yeah.
So that's the early game. Let's get to the late game. Two teams very familiar with one another. Opener, and where are you sitting?
3.5, and this game toggling back and forth. They're taking 3.5 with the Niners and laying 3 with the Rams. So you know what? It went to it opened 3.5, went to 3 right away. And anytime we're back to 3.5 here. So overall two-way action. Obviously, we're not going to need Rams by 3 in this game, but that's the trend so far in this matchup. Taking 3.5 with the Niners, laying 3 with the Rams. Total on this one came down, which I think this will go back up. It opened 47, it's 46. We'll probably, you know, general public again loves points, and I think there'll be quite a few folks interested in the over. This money line from $1.60 up to $1.80 right now.
Just a note, Michael, Jimmy Vaccaro, of course, works with Vinny behind the book here. He posted on his Twitter that he took a money line, so 165 on the Rams, which has jumped up now, $165,000 bet on the Rams, and he also took a huge $220,000 bet on the 49ers, coming back the other way, the points.
Yeah, taking 3.5. I think that ticket was at 3.5.
110.
So it went back to 3. And then they laid it. So again, that's been the trend in this game so far. Rams get the betting attention when it's when they're minus 3, and then the Niners get the action at plus 3.5.
You could see it. I mean, look, the Niners, the way they've played defense, really since, you know, even against Tennessee, they played good defense. They played poorly on third down, but you know, the last six games, the team that moved the ball the most on them was the Cowboys at 307 yards. I mean, they have played really good defense. This has not just been a one-time, you know, good outing. I mean, last week to hold the Packers to 263 and 10 points is remarkable, but they held the Rams to 24 points and they only had 265 yards. And they turned the ball over twice against the Rams. I mean, the Rams turned it over twice and so did the 49ers. So I have a hard time. I mean, I think this is such a close game, and I think both defenses will play better. I like the under a little bit here, only because I think that both defenses and both offense, they know each other so well that I think the under could be in play. But I'm with you. I think that 3.5 is – that half point is huge in this game.
Got a couple of a few look-aheads here. So just, again, you can bet the Super Bowl matchup now, and you're locked in on it. So we'll post the game after – the Niners-Rams game. But right now, you can bet the Chiefs minus 1.5 against the Rams, or the Rams plus 1.5. The Chiefs are 3 right now against the Niners. Bengals are going to catch 3 from the Rams or 1.5 from the Niners right now. So those are look-aheads right now. And again, of course, independent of what will be posted after the NFC title game on Sunday afternoon.
That's
Sunday
great information.
Evening.
Are you going to watch championship games behind
here.
Us in the office, or
yes.
are you going to be in the garage at home?
No garage. I'll be.
So you'll be watching. You and Chris yeah. will be watching, but actually, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid will be.
Well,
on
that'll
AMC.
Be on too. Yeah, it's always on one of the
that's
TVs.
What it's just so funny. People,
I love it.
The books. Anyway, Vinny, who's better than you? The answer is nobody. Thank
well,
you.
I appreciate it.
Okay,
good,
we'll come
good
back
to be with you guys.
Here on the Lombardi Line. Man.